shy of the lassie shout as I walk by. Down on where's your trousers? Let the wind blow high and the wind blow low. Through the streets in the yacht I go. All the lassies play hello, saying, down on where's your trousers? I went to a fancy bar, hit with somebody in the heart. Wales of fear, the rain may fall, cause I may hat on trousers. Let the wind blow high and the wind blow low. Through the streets in the yacht I go. All the lassies play hello, saying, down on where's your trousers? I went down to London town to have a little fun in the underground. The ladies turn their heads around saying, go, where's your trousers? Let the wind blow high and the wind blow low. Through the streets in a kilt I go. All the lassies cry hello saying, Donald, where's your trousers?
Hello and welcome to episode 40 of Caithness Craft Collective. I'm Louise. This episode, the blather is on kilts and tartan-tastic. Yes, I know I've called it Life Begins at 40, but it's the episode and that's what you've got to say. I'm not 40 yet. Few years yet. I've got a wee mission for you, soldier, so pay attention, and also I'll announce the winner of the Craft Room 101 competition, and I'll tell you, of course, about the Me Show. All the links are in the show notes that come wherewith you download this from, so relax, get your links later. I'm sponsoring this by my own business, Energy Hunt Limited, www.energyhunt.com, for Northern Scotland's premier renewable engineering services. Get your cup of tea, your craft. I'll tell you what crack is in Caithness this week.
Now for the
blather. Away and sit in for the blather. Well, this week it's all about the tartan and the kilts. So, we're kind of more on the Scottish segment this week, which is fine, because next episode will be about textile techniques again. I've had lots of blathering about kilts and tartans and clans recently. Some of you have requested more on this subject, so here it is. And this is the Scottish segment too.
Scottish segment.
Thank you, Sandy. The Normans introduced feudalism to Scotland. This was a form of social order and it gave protection to the common folk who were at the bottom of the rung of the ladder. And they depended ultimately on the service to the crown, which had granted the land on which they lived and to their lord. Now, in the Gaelic-speaking Highlands, the region of the north and the west of the imaginary Highland line, which was the boundary running northeast from Dumbarton to Ballater and then to Nairn, following the course of the Grampian Mountains, was a much older social structure had already existed. The clan system was much the same as under feudalism, but the clan chief owned the clan territory other than the crown. The land was held communally by the members of the clan, who in return rendered services to their chief. And the imposition of feudalism on the clans caused considerable strain when the interest of the chief and the feudal overlord, or the clan and the crown, were at odds. For the tradition of the clan called for utter obedience to the chief, whose will was law. And the feudal lords, who sometimes the king himself were persistently required to deal with, local outbreaks of insubordination. Oops. And these occurred within reach. So the inaccessible Western Highlands and the Lord of the Isles, which was a title resided for Clan Donald, and ruled like a sovereign. Now, clan means children. And I only just found this out the other day, I was quite impressed. And kinship was at the heart of the system. All members of one clan, or one sept, that's S-E-P-T, that is a clan branch, had all the same name, which was derived from historical or legendary ancestor, which bound them together. Theoretically, they had a blood relationship with one another. But in practice, only the chief of the clan and the chieftains of the septs were strictly related. And loyalty and obedience were paramount and unquestioning. Members of the clan, or followers of a particular chieftain, wore a plant badge, often not so much as a means of identification as a talisman. So the MacDonalds sported various species of heather, the Campbells had gael or bog myrtle, the badge of the Grants is the Scots pine, mistletoe is the haze, and the fern of the Chisholms. Bonnie Prince Charlie wore the thistle. Ha! I bet he didn't stand on it. Right, where were we? So George the Fourth, in his inglorious... Can I say that? Incongruous. In his effort to prove his Scottish ancestry, which was genuine, he wore the thistle in his bonnet when he landed in Leith in 1822. But he wasn't a Stuart. I have to put George in. I like George. He was a bit of an idiot, but I like George. So, we come on to Highland dress, which was of comparatively recent development, but its origins are old enough and, like many cultural traditions, are based on the practical sense. Damp clothes spelt chills and other illnesses. Bare legs were the answer for both men and women roving around the wet, marshy and ophorous treacherous terrain. 16th century Scotland history refers to Highlanders wearing under a shaggy rug used as a cloak, which was a shirt, and it reached the knees, for decency, and some kind of pants. The traditional view was a Highlander wears nothing beneath his kilt, and has been down hard ever since. In the 1600s, men began to wrap their plaids around their bodies. The plaid was a vast blanket of tartan, that is, patterned with stripes, which was 5 feet wide and 16 feet long. It was close woven and midgy-proof. I like this midgy-proof stuff. For travellers out in the open on the hills and moors in winter, it served both as a covering and a tent. To put it on, you set it on the ground lengthwise and you laid down on it, you gathered the stuff around you and you secured it with a belt. Then when you stood up, the bottom half formed a pleated skirt. You then draped the top half over your shoulders and across your chest. The plaid was such a basic part of a Highlander's dress that when the men of the left wing of the Earl of Mar's army at the Battle of Sheriff Muir in 1715 lost their plaids, they had to go home and reclothe themselves. Working in a blanket was unwieldy. In the early 1700s, the habit developed of cutting the plaid in half and attaching one piece to the waistband, and thus the kilt was invented. The brogue, today a leather shoe with a decorative holes scored in the upper, was originally an essential form of footwear for use on wet ground. It comprised of a thin leather sole and an upper punched with holes to let the water out. Now remember the brogue, because this is important later. And also, those that listen to Paula of Knitting Pipeline will think about her when she's up and down in the rain. The raw wool from which the plaids were woven was first stood in human urine, and then it was washed and dried before being spun and then boiled in vegetable dyes. People from a particular region or clan may have tended to wear the same basic colour so that their homeland could be recognised when travelling. Clan tartans were not invented until the 18th century. After the failure of the Jacobite Rebellion in 1746. Every form of Highland dress was proscribed by law, in an effort to bring the social structure of the northern clans in line with that of the southern parts of Scotland. Even clans like the Campbells of the MacDonalds of Skye, who had fought with the government, were affected by the ban. The only exceptions were the Highland regiments serving abroad, whose uniforms were based on that and the Black Watch formed in 1739. When the ban was lifted in 1782, the skills and the traditions associated with weaving and wearing the tartan had largely been forgotten. The revival initially was a luxury and a pastime for the better off, and it came in the 19th century, fostered by the publications of bogus ancient manuscript describing 38 specific family tartans and patterns. The elaborate classification of clan tartans and today Highland dress, the kilt, the sporran, tweed jacket and waistcoat, brogues and woolen stockings in the right one, which is stuck the ceremonial dagger, the ski and do, stemming from that time too. Now, here is a wee interview with my hobby to tell you about the wearing of the kilt itself. I'm here talking to my husband Richard, and I'm going to ask him about his kilt, because he has one. Right, where did yours come from, when and why?
Mine came from a colleague who I went to primary school and high school with, who trained and became a kilt maker. And when I was 29 in 2002, before we got married, I decided it was time for me to buy and wear a kilt instead of hiring. So I went and seen Morag Buchanan, down past where my parents live, near Oban, a place called North Connell. And she measured me up and fitted me out with a handmade kilt, and I got that for my wedding.
Is there anything in specific that she measured you? Did you think it was a funny way of measuring you because you were getting measured for a skirt, in essence?
She had to make sure it was long enough and it went to the centre of my knees when I knelt on the ground, which is the traditional length for a kilt. It goes from your belly button down to the centre of your knees when you're kneeling down. So it doesn't reveal too much, but it certainly gives you enough freedom to move.
Do you like wearing it?
Yes.
Why?
Because it's fun and it gives me plenty of freedom and keeps me nice and cool when I'm dancing.
How do you feel when you're wearing it, like the whole outfit?
I feel like I've dressed up special for an occasion. It's kind of my version of wearing a dinner suit.
Tell me more about your outfit itself, like the whole kilt ensemble.
Now, the main thing is the kilt, which is modern hunting Stuart, which is the kilt you wear if your family name isn't or doesn't have its own traditional tartan itself. So modern hunting Stuart is what we wear, which is a nice kind of yellows and reds and greens. And around about the kilt, you have a big kilt pin and a big thick leather belt with big buckles and your sporn. And your sporn has tassels on it, and the tassels mean something, but I'm not quite sure what. And the sporn itself is traditionally made from seal skin, which mine is.
What's a sporn, for those that don't know?
It's a little pouch that you keep your handkerchief, your loose change, your mobile phone, and your half bottle in. You better explain what a half bottle is.
Your wee dram for toasting the bride and groom, or having a wee dram whilst you're waiting around in the cold.
Or a hip flask if you're posh.
Generally it's a hip flask.
And then from the sporn going down the way, you've got your big thick socks and your fancy shoes, which have holes in them, I learnt today, and your ski and do, which goes on whatever side is whatever you're...
Traditionally.
No, it's not.
Is it traditionally?
No, it's traditionally whatever hand you use is your main hand. So if you're left-handed, it goes on your left side. And if you're right-handed, it goes on your right side.
For
stabbing people.
Do you want to tell me more about your ski and do?
My ski and do is special because I made mine myself from an old bit of metal blade, and I got a bit of antler that we'd shot. I can't remember if it was my dad or me that shot, I think it was my dad shot that one. And some brushed copper and some leather that my father used to do a lot of leather work, and I did a wee bit just as a bit of hobby. So I made my own ski and do, my own little leather pouch, and it's a bit of a conversation starter when people see it, because generally they have little plastic fake ones, but I've got a proper homemade one. Going up the way, you've got different kind of blazers. You can wear tweed, or you can wear a Bonnie Prince Charlie one, which has got fancy little tails on it and splits and stuff, or an Argyle one, which is what I've got, which is a more conservative, smarter version.
It's a black woolen version, isn't it? It's a blazer, but a black woolen version.
Yes, with fancy silver bits on it. I wear a shirt and a tartan tie, although traditionally she'd just have a green tie, I think, or a bow tie, and tie pin or cufflinks. And apart from that, I think, other than washing before and shaving before you go out, that's all you need to wear.
There is quite a lot of gubbins to a kilt, especially if you've not tried one on before. When I got married, my dad hired one, and it was the only time he ever wore a kilt. And
he looked very smart.
He did, actually, suited him. In fact, I think it suits most men. It's very rare you see somebody that looks stupid in a kilt. You think?
Mm-hmm.
If it's properly fitted.
And they're comfortable.
And they look comfortable. Just say about the sporing when you're dancing.
I always stick it to the side.
Why?
Because you don't want to bump into people. Especially the slow dances.
Some men might think it's sissy and say, oh, you're just wearing a skirt. What do you say to that?
Say that to a man wearing a kilt when he's loaded with whiskey.
Who's that?
Very. It's traditional dress. It's just like wearing a big pair of baggy shorts, but without the bit joined up in the middle. And it's a bit of fun and very comfortable. And when you're away dancing and you get rid of all the bits and pieces like the jacket and the tie and all that nonsense, and you can just let rip and get the kilt twirling about and have a right good dance, and it's good crack. As long as you don't twist too high, because obviously a traditional kilt wearing boy won't wear anything underneath his kilt.
Yeah, can you tell us more about the traditional Scotsman? What does that mean?
You don't wear anything under your kilt, other than your smile, i.e. no undercrackers.
Unless?
It's rented, or hired.
Can you tell us as well, when there's a wedding?
Oh, aye.
For when there's a wedding, that's something special as well, for all the men getting their photo taken.
Well, generally when the photos are getting taken, there's always a picture of men in the kilts, and we have a few sensible ones, and a few not sensible ones, and then we all have one with the kilts raised, because it's traditional. Obviously the bigger boys go at the front of the photo, and the little boys go at the back of the photo, as opposed to the sensible ones, where the wee boys go at the front and the big boys go at the back.
You can giggle all you want about it, because it's true, I've seen it quite a few times.
It's tradition.
Yeah, well, it is. Anyway, thank you very much for talking to me about the kilts.
It's a pleasure, and generally someone wearing a kilt is always happy to talk about wearing a kilt.
That's true, and also it's a one outfit that you buy. Traditionally when the man turns 21 and he only needs one kilt throughout his life, whereas a lady, every time she goes on occasion, needs a new dress. So if you put in the investment when you're 21, then it pays off, because the amount of times that you wear a kilt is quite surprising. It can be worn to a funeral, to fancy business meeting, Chamber of Commerce dinners. It's used as a black tie event dress, Highland Games, and obviously the wedding and baptisms, a new year, a new
graduation,
you name it, we'll get the kilt on. So up your kilt.
Now you can order your kilt from many, many kilt shops up and down the country, especially the cities. However, they have got specialist kilts in tartan shops. You can even have your own tartan made if you've got enough money and the want. And some of you will remember that my maiden name is Mackay. I'm from the clan Mackay, originating from the county of Sutherland. Our clan motto is Manu Forti, which means with a strong hand. And I couldn't think of anything more important to me, strong hands. We've got what I think is a lovely tartan. The main one, which is the ancient one, is a dark blue with stripes of green and blue and black through it. It's quite close to the black watch. We've also got the weathered, which is the brown, not my favourite. The blue one, which is bonny, it's got blue and red stripe, and then there's the modern, which is a dark blue with a navy affair. I quite like most of my tartans. Brown's not my favourite, but the rest of them I do. Tradition now says that my children can wear the Mackay tartan if they wish. And my clan's plant badge is the bulrush. Well, at least it's not a thistle. I've got a wee link for the clan Mackay information. So seeing men in kilts is pretty everyday occurrence in Scotland. It's a nice dress up, or it can be teamed with a ghillie shirt and big boots for the rugby or the football. Men generally like wearing a kilt once they've tried it on a few times. Tartan is still very important to Scotland. Queen Victoria made it quite trendy, then it became quite twee, but it still carries on. Tartan material itself is mostly made of wool, and it was produced by the ton from the mills, mostly in the borders and all over Scotland. I follow Loch Carron Scott on Twitter, who they run a mill in Selkirk, and they've got a good visitor shop there. You can go for a wee wander around. The typical kilt, as seen in modern Highland events, is made of twill woven worsted wool. The twill weave was used for kilts is a 2-2 type, meaning that each weft passes over and under two warp threads at a time. And the result is a distinctive diagonal weave pattern in the fabric, which is called twill line. This kind of twill, when woven according to a given set or written colour pattern. I'm getting this from Wikipedia, this part. A modern kilt for a typical adult uses 6 to 8 yards of single width or 3 to 4 yards of double width tartan fabric. It is not made with a hem, and it is cut on the selvage due to it hanging wrongly if there was a hem. And I was looking at my hubby's kilt as I put it away yesterday, and I thought, there's no hem on that, it must be cut on the selvage, so therefore I'm a genius. But he was at the Caithness Chamber of Commerce dinner on Friday, and hopefully lots of business come out of that, and the energy hunt carried on and on and on. But he had to wear Highland dress, and that was his chosen affair, so he was out wearing his kilt. And no, I never got. I was too busy with other stuff, i.e. the bairns and knitting. Now, if you're at a wedding, the groom sets the tartan, and his best man and the ushers and the close family generally all wear the same tartan. The more kilts, the better, I say. There's so much more to say, I don't know what I'm going to miss out. So I can pass on for another episode. Here's a wee bit of a tune for you.
So come fill up my glass with whiskey or rum, and send over your lass, and you'll see it's better easy and free in a boxer's or briefs. I'm a man who wears a kilt every day. Be easy and free in a boxer's or briefs. I'm a man who wears a kilt every day.
Now if you need a pee, stop, because it's time for the Daisy Laugh. Craft fairy.
Craft fairy.
Well, I won something. I'm now trendy because I won something. There. And this obviously makes you all trendy because you're listening to me. I'm an avid listener of Paula's Knitting Pipeline, and I was leaving her comments on our episodes regarding the Sheelan Show by Leila Rabb and other nonsense I had made, of course I do. And lo and behold, my name was pulled out from the hat. I won a copy of the pattern of the Sheelan Show from Leila Rabb herself. It's a good pattern too. It's very clearly written out and it has been knitted already by Paula's friend Char. Hello, Char. And I believe everything she says, obviously, because she is a good knitter. And Paula has arranged a knit-along starting on the 1st of October 2011 with this pattern. It requires 300 metres of sport weight and 5.5mm needles. So I have in my stash one skein of sport weight, which is now a yarn cake, of three Irish girls' Kale sport weight in a brown colourway called Branna. Problem I was having is that my asymmetrical cardigan was using the 5.5 needles. So I've been going a bit mad knitting on it, and this is why this episode would have been out on Friday and isn't. So if anyone wishes to join the knit along, please get the details from the Knitting Pipeline Ravelry page. Put it this way, I'm going to need all the help I can because this is my first proper triangle shawl. And so far I've watched and I've learned how to do the cast on. I was messaging Paula about it and I told her that I shall overcome, as in shawl overcome. And it was a typing mistake, but I left it, so I thought it was quite funny. Well, in my head it was funny. In yours? Who knows? I craft fairied myself the Simply Cards and Papercraft magazine issue 89 because it had on the gift of Christmas rubber stamps. So it's going to be all Rudolph and Robins for my Christmas cards this year. I was half thinking about getting a subscription to Simply Cards and Papercraft because you get a 24-piece letter set pro marker pack when you subscribe. Tempted, very, very tempted. But just now, don't think I can quite afford it. However, I'm saving the best for last. Oh, yeah, because I got out the library the Victorian Lace Today book by Jane Sowby, which is a good knitting book all about lace knitting, hence Victorian Lace. And I was thinking, oh, I think I'll do a wee review on this. This is a good book. And so I was like, oh, I have to tell everybody about this. Most of you already know. Like, I was delighted about it because I'm starting out with lace knitting. And because it's just a book for me at the right time. So I'm going to do a review of it next episode. And I was blathering away with Happy Knits, whom is Alex from London. Hello, Alex, you lovely lady. And I said, duh, I was a bit behind her in the knitting front because she's done stuff like the swallowtail shawl that I want to do. But we've both done the possum fingerless gloves. But then I said, I got this book at the library. It's really good. You've done lace. Have you seen it? And she said, yes, I've got a copy. But I don't use it and I'd like to send you it because you don't take donations. And you seem like you would use it, so please have my old copy. And I was like, what? Wow. Okay. But you have to have something back in return. So she's going to get some handspun Jacob. But I have told her I haven't actually spun it yet, but I will. Because I was having to card it first, and it's carded now. So, I have it, it's here, and it's beside me. That's me touching it. I've hugged it, Daisy's hugged it, Mum's hugged it, Hobby was amazed. He didn't hug it. But I am delighted, and he was delighted, so thank you very much. And it's very, very kind of you. I can see she didn't have to, but yeah, she did, because it's lovely. So, I'm sure she gets some use out of this handspun Jacob I'll give her. And on to hello section.
Hello.
I would like to express a warm hello to all new listeners, medium listeners and older listeners. Have you put your pin in the listener map, Beyonce? I've got it linked in the show notes. I have been checking. I've waved to all you new ones. I waved to the anonymous ones. And if you're a lurker, bung yourself in here. You don't need to put your name. Just put where you are. It's nice. Especially you in China. Not seen anybody in China yet. And Mary Jojo, I see you've moved. So, hello!
Hello!
I'd like to say a big sandy hello to the new Ravelry group members.
Hello!
PG Knitty Nurse, who's lovely. Thistleheart34, who's lovely. Chim Mama, who's lovely. Trin Knits, who's lovely, lovely, lovely. I'll come on to more of that first, I'm not being biased. Britlet Fan, who's lovely. And Storm Mirala, who's lovely.
Hello.
You're all lovely. I've had some lovely messages. I'm going to change the adjective here. I have loved your project pages and I hope you all have a blather in the What's Crack section. Please, everyone, carry on putting your projects onto my page because I do look at them and like to see what you've been up to. Now we've got our random hellos.
Hello.
Ogginets, L34NN3, Frozen North, Pink Newf, and Susan Dolph. Hello. Get well soons. I would like to say that I have been thinking about the horrible mining disaster that happened in Wales 2 weeks ago. It's devastating. And my heart goes out to you. And it's miners. And you know, I've got a special place in my heart for miners. So if that affected you, I would send you my condolences and wish you all the best. On to What's a Crack section.
What's the E-Crack section?
The Craft 101 results are now in. Well, lovely listeners and Craft... Oh, here I've said it again. Well, delightful listeners and Craft group friends. A couple of episodes back, we were debating the items that we'd like to throw into Craft Room 101, never to be seen again. At my Vimto Craft Night, which is called Vimto because we all drank it the first night and it stuck, I asked what we would all put in, and then asked you listeners what one item that we would have to save. The choices that you had were... putting and taking out zips from my mum, sewing in ends by Rachel, man-made fibre by Caroline, knitting in extra stitches by mistake by Lisa, tangles and not having the correct equipment by me, Sarah's sewing machine by Sarah, cheap masking tape from our guest Sean, and the disappointment of spinning by Naomi, sewing up garments by Audrey. There was a lot of debate about this, and that was really good. Some extensive reasoning and blog reposts from all sites, especially on the man-made fibres debate going in or being saved. And this, my fellow acrylic fans, has been saved. Caroline had emailed me an excellent list of reasons why it should be thrown away, never to be seen again. But she didn't tell you about her hatred of the Plastic Fury herself, and while I was a bit poorly that episode, I think her side of the debate was lost. But she herself suggested that listeners decided what is saved. So I will now tell you that 26 of you wanted to keep the man-made fibres, especially acrylic, from being blasted into the vacuum of space. 4 wanted spinning and 3 wanted the seaming. I'm glad that you all wanted to chuck getting in fangles with yarns, as that was my choice. I think there's a place in acrylic from this world because there's a place for wool. And if we all respect other people's choices, then the world will be a much happier place. But Caroline is getting the last laugh because she's donated 3 skeins of wool for the prize. It's the BFL mohair mix that I made my scarf of doom from and works up lovely. So thank you very much for Caroline for firstly putting up the prize up and the suggestion, but mostly for being a good sport. So I put everybody's name in who replied to this into the pot, literally. I cut up bits of paper, I put them into one of Daisy's pots from her toy kitchen because I couldn't find the Viking hat. And I got my random number generator Sandy to pick out the winner of the draw, and he chose... that's my drum roll. Needs Yarn. So well done with Needs Yarn. I've sent you a message. Thank you to everyone else for entering. I hope to have more competitions soon. Oh, hold on a few minutes and I'll tell you one more. I would also like to say to Bridget, thank you for your email. I read it from my mobile, but I managed to delete it before I could reply to you. So apologies for being a muppet and not replying to you because it was a bit rude. But thank you to everybody, because it was good fun. On to your soldiers need you. Well, I noticed on Twitter yesterday that Ruth from the Isle of Man was asking for crocheted or knitted hats for UK troops over in Afghanistan. It's getting colder at night time, certainly, over there, and one of our knitting ladies' son, Sarah's son, is serving over there, and they wanted to knit some hats to send out. So this is Louise Kitchen Knife with a moustache saying, "Your troops need you." Apparently General Kitchener was a bit of a git, so I'm going to be General Kitchen Knife instead. Seriously, can you knit up a simple hat to keep our troops warm? I've got a thread going in the Ravelry group for this. If you knit or crochet a simple adult's beanie hat for the troops to sleep in and bust some of your stash at the same time, I'll have a prize for the fastest knitter or crocheter to reach Sarah and then a prize out to the rest of you. I've had 3 offers from Twitter already tonight, and obviously myself, which makes 4. So, Sand Lacrosse, you said you've already made 2, and to be fair, I'll have to put you into the pot for the rest of them because you aren't starting at the same time as us, unless you start another one. So, I was thinking of handspun for myself or something else from a stash, and knitting crochet like the wind, crafty people, and let's get this platoon all cosied up before winter. If you want to take part, please use dull army colours, because you don't want there to be targets now, do you? And I think it has to be natural fibres, just in case they're caught on fire and it doesn't melt to them. That's Caroline thinking about wool again. Private message me for the address, and as soon as I get it, I'll pass over to you. So, go on, cast on.
I buy books I never read, and then I tell you some more about me.
Me show. Did I tell you? It's all about me. Well, actually, it's not just now. It's all about the troops. Come on, General Louise kitchen knife here. I finished the back bag of actual usefulness, and I am delighted with it. I will put on some photos onto Flickr soon. I've used it as well, and I've been knitting like a maniac on my cardigan to get off the needles before the Shaylin shawl knit along, but because the hats have come up, I probably will delay the shawl until the hat is finished. I'm sure it'll not take long, only a few days, because if a hat is not the greatest, the biggest of things. I've also been carding on to my little heart's content, because my Ashford drum carder came. It is now part of the furniture of my craft room. Even Daisy and Sandy can use its eighth. And it's made me so happy to have this enabling machine, I can't tell you. I recarded all the Jacob that I had, and I've recarded most of the mule. I've started carding the Zwart Bull, which is very soft, and I'm looking forward to using that. I'm going to do a swap package with the lovely Trin Knits of Ravelry, who happens to be Belle of the Ball, Cheryl's friend. She's actually on the last episode too, and I'm listening to this, and I'm thinking her name's familiar. And then she messaged me about this, requesting that I asked if somebody would do a swap package for her from the UK. And I was like, oh, me. I'm going to use my privilege here. Me. Pick me. So, we're gathering things to send to each other. I kind of feel that mine won't be quite as exciting as hers, because she's just come back from the Oregon Fleece and Fibre this weekend. She lives in the Pacific Northwest. What is the law to know about fleece and fibre? However, I live in Caithness. We didn't have a fleece and fibre this weekend, but I have started gathering up and plotting in my head what I am going to send her. I'll let you know when she gets it. It's quite good fun stalking her and talking to each other. If anyone else would wish to get up to this mischief, please put up a line on the Ravelry board, because we can get swaps going, no problem.
The blah 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 section.
And blah 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 bit. That's me, thank you very much for listening. I hope you all are in good health and fiddle. You can download me from iTunes and Podbean. You can email me on caithnesscraftcollective@gmail.com. Get me on Ravelry as Louise J. Hunt, or join the Caithness Craft Collective group in there. Also on Seamed Up and Stitching Fingers, and Twitter as Caithness Craft. The music is Kilted for Her Pleasure and A Man Wears a Kilt Every Day by Mark Gunn. Hey, Mark! Donald Wears Your Trousers by Brodigan and Nadine's Bards, which was all courtesy of musicalley.com. You can purchase it from there if you would like. So thanks for listening, and keep on crafting!
I am a young Scotsman from America. The kilt is my pleasure, it's true. You can call it a skirt, but your lady will flirt. If she has a chance, she'll leave you. That's why I'm kilted.
Kilted.
Kilted. The mystery of what's under there. You're kilted.
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 Inspectors will beg to know your third leg is as free as the fresh morning air. I have no red hair, but my skin is quite fair. But it does nothing to show off my pride. But my Scottish family tree I wear on me, and it makes the ladies giggle and sigh. When you're kilted,
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 kilted.
The mystery of what's under there. You're kilted,
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 kilted.
Inspectors will beg to know your third leg is as free as the fresh morning air. I feel like a man, both noble and strong. When I dance, my kilt swishes in time. But I must confess, it's for the ladies I dress and undress too. Is that a crime? When you're kilted,
kilted,
kilted, the mystery of what's under there. Yes, you're kilted,
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 kilted.
Inspectors will beg to know your third leg is as free as the fresh morning air. Don your kilt, my good Scottish friend, and let your flag blow and unwind. If they ask what's beneath your kilted sheet, tell them it's lipstick they'll find. When you're kilted,
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 the
mystery of what's under there. Yes, you're kilted.
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 Inspectors will beg to know your third leg is as free as the fresh morning air. Yes, you're kilted.
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 With the mystery of what's under there. You're kilted.
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 Inspectors will beg to know your third leg is as free as the fresh morning air.